Dan back here at the Genesis Radio Network, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-800-259-5791. But please do not put the call in unless we ask for questions, and I sort of doubt that we will, because we have with us today one of my favorite guests, and somebody who always has so much to say that we really don't like to get interrupted for calls, and that's Joel Skousen of World Affairs Brief. Hi, Joel. Thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure, Dr. Stan. Nice to be with you again.
All right, fine. Well, what are we going to cover?
Well, we're beginning to watch what is going to be a constant spectacle for the next few months, and that is a ruse of diplomatic solution in the East of many, or in the Middle East, of many different military options. We're going to see everything paraded out before us after the Baker Commission, in terms of even the administration and the Pentagon is talking about three options, including leaving Iraq, and of course everyone just dismisses the third. But that's out there on the table just to placate all of the parties out there. It's a very interesting strategy, because essentially playing like there is a possibility that the United States is going to leave Iraq, playing like there is a possibility for change or success or winning, keeps everyone unstable, so that no one really expects the government to do anything, because everyone's just simply talking first, then they're going to be trying, and then when that doesn't work, they'll be talking and trying another. It's a complete fraud, Dr. Stan, what we're going to be seeing and what we're going to be witnessing on the news, media, and with the spinmeisters. Frankly, the United States isn't leaving Iraq. They haven't built these, there's actually five major military bases, and they are huge, Dr. Stan. They aren't building the largest embassy in the world simply to walk away from Iraq. They're there to stay. This is going to be a major aircraft carrier on the land. Gives the United States a major place to continue to intervene within other governments of the Middle East, and so it's not going anywhere.
Well, I thought that article that you reviewed in your last World Affairs Brief, the Richard Haass interview with the Spiegel magazine, Der Spiegel, was a fascinating insight into what's really planned.
Yes, we can go over that. I think your listeners might be very interested in that. You know, they started out Der Spiegel, which means the mirror in German. Talked about Mr. Haass, where the election results, a message from the voters to George Bush that it's time for U.S. troops to be pulled out of Iraq, and he responds, "The midterm election is a signal of widespread popular dissatisfaction with the course of the Iraq war." Now, he's parroting there something that everybody's saying, even Henry Kissinger's getting in, talking about it's not winnable, and yet, nevertheless, nobody says we ought to pull out, and neither does Haass. He says, but it should not be read as a signal for support of a particular alternative. He's going to give this general framework that we're going to try lots of different things except pull out.
I think our listeners have to know who Richard Haass is. Would you like to tell them? Because he's one of the key players in this whole scenario that's unfolding.
Now, Richard Haass is the chairman of the Council on Foreign Relations, and nobody gets to that position unless they're fully cognizant of what the neocon long-term strategy is, which, in my opinion, and not all neocons know this. Most neocons are recruited from liberal past democratic backgrounds to become switched to the Republican Party and become the party of strong action in foreign policy to set up U.S. hegemony around the world. That is, the U.S. becomes the strong man around the world. And to quote the neocons, believe this is to promote democracy, but that's a false excuse.
Okay, fine. So please go ahead. I just wanted people to understand that this is a key player. In the, he's really the leader, one of the major leaders of the CFR. And so he's in the upper echelons determining what the future is. And when he's interviewed in Der Spiegel, listen to what he says, because, of course, he's telling what the future holds. We'll be right back.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonance. If the resonant frequency force making the glass vibrate is big enough, the size of the vibration will become so large that the glass shatters. Using a similar principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Simple step-by-step instructions using pictures are easy to follow. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms. Eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. 1-866-885-6625.
Hello, folks. This is Alex Jones introducing you to the incredible Berkey Solar Charger, your source for free solar electricity. This portable system is the size of a book when folded and small enough to fit into a briefcase, handbag, or glove compartment. The Berkey Solar Charger has been designed to power the Berkey Lights LED lamps as well as other applications such as mobile phones, radios, digital cameras, and PDAs when electricity is not available. Its multi-voltage capabilities, multiple adapters, and rechargeable batteries provide for a flexible source of auxiliary backup power. Simply place the Berkey Solar Charger in the sun, plug in your application, and you have power. Disconnect your application, and the system automatically begins charging its own rechargeable batteries. Get the incredible Berkey Solar Charger for only $75 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. And tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438.
September 11th, 2001 changed the world, and the world is now realizing that the official story of that infamous day just doesn't make sense. The overwhelming majority of Americans believe that there is a government cover-up, according to a CNN poll. 9/11 in plain sight, the director's cut is a compilation of unaltered news footage and photos from major networks and publications that raises questions that officials dare not ask, let alone answer. The worldwide firestorm of questions raised has forced some into a position of desperation damage control to keep this documentary from being seen or accepted by the masses. Why have these efforts been made to keep you from seeing this documentary and simply asking common sense questions? Find out. You must see 9/11 in plain sight, the director's cut, and share it with as many people as possible. Call 877-817-9829 to order your copy. That's 877-817-9829. Unless these questions are answered honestly, the world could be plunged into a third world war. Stop this madness. Call 877-817-9829 today and order your copy of 9/11 in plain sight, the director's cut.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and our guest today is certainly going into the background of what's really going on behind the scenes. Joel Skelton from World Affairs Brief. We're talking about the interview between Mr. Richard Haass, who is the president of the Council on Foreign Relations. He's a member of the Trilateral Commission, only 130 members here, the North American group, and he's being interviewed by Der Spiegel magazine over in Germany about what does the future hold as far as Iraq, and what about, the big question is, what about Iran? So pick up the story there, Joel.
Well, Der Spiegel asks, of course, if the elections really are a mandate to pull troops out of Iraq, and he's saying no. You know, they're going to talk about different alternatives. He says, nor will it lead most Democrats in Congress to call for a quick and complete withdrawal of U.S. forces. One might be interested, I might say, to ask, how does he know that? I think he has inside knowledge because these powerful forces that control U.S. presidents, you know, the CFR provides almost every single advisor to the president and the National Security Council and otherwise, and they also control, I believe, about 75% of the members of Congress. In other words, he says, instead it will reinforce the likelihood that the American policy will be adjusted. Now, this is what I'm talking about. These adjustments can go on forever, keeping people's hopes up that the administration is trying to get out of Iraq when, in fact, they have no intention to. He says, we can anticipate force reductions or redeployments and possibly a greater emphasis on diplomacy, both within Iraq and with Iraq's neighbors, including Iran and Syria. Now, we're starting to see that as we speak, but what I'm going to point out from the Haas interview is that diplomacy is merely a ruse to justify military action later on. But we are beginning to see overtures going out, both to Syria, of course, in Lebanon right now, and in Iran there's been certain overtures. These really are very, very shallow overtures. They aren't resulting in anything, nor will they. But it's the appearance of trying in diplomacy that is important. Der Spiegel asks, meaning that the Bush era has come to an end? Haas says, and this is very telling, it is not just premature but wrong to say the Bush era is over. Boy, is he right. Mainly because, whether it's Republicans or Democrats, the era of intervention is not over. The president will be president, he says, for another 800 days. He will be able to take initiatives, especially in foreign policy, given that our system favors executive power. Boy, that's an understatement as well. He may also have a better chance to fashion a consensus on immigration reform. Of course, this means amnesty, and he's jubilant, as well as the establishment, that the Democratic majority in the House now allows the president to pass an amnesty bill, which is just what they really wanted. The fence was simply, a token thing to give away. It probably will not be funded, but we'll get the amnesty, and they'll go full speed ahead with that. Then he makes a very telling remark, Dr. Stan. He says, quote, and unanticipated crises, meaning this electoral reversal, almost always provide a president with opportunities to do dramatic things. So Haas is here talking about Hegelian tactics, whereby crises are created and managed on both sides in order to produce a result unattainable without these type of scare tactics. And that's a very key quote in this, unanticipated crises almost always provide a president with the opportunity to do dramatic things. And we saw this in today's news, for example, or yesterday's news, with the assassination of Pierre Jamal of Lebanon, the industrial minister there in the government of Signoria. He was a Falangist Christian politician. His father had been president of Lebanon, as well as an uncle had been president. He's a very important politician. So he gets knocked off in an ambush where bodyguards and all in his convoy were killed, and all of a sudden it's target Syria again. Syria is the guilty party without any evidence so far, and Bush has said as much. So this shows that these types of things, which can be engineered from any side of the political spectrum, doesn't have to be Syria knocking him off. Same thing with Rafiq Harari. It's, even though the evidence points that way, these are things that can be duplicated by dark side operatives who want to, make someone look bad. Just as the, Russians sent in phony people blowing up apartment buildings in Moscow, making it look like the Chechen resistance had done that. This is Hegelian tactics, where you create a crisis, a war, such as the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand, in order to create a war. Wars are never caused for the reasons that the public is given. Wars are always planned in advance, and then a crisis is precipitated by events, whether it's the Gulf of Tonkin incident, whether it's blowing up the Maine, which was not done by the Spanish. I mean, who is to think that the Spanish would be stupid enough to blow up an American battleship in the middle of the harbor? These were agent provocateurs that blew that up so that the U.S. could go to war with Spain. This happens all the time, and it isn't just a modern phenomenon. This has been known for many, many years. Now, talking about diplomacy, Richard Haas says, for quite a few years there's been little diplomacy, and the emphasis was on regime change, which in my view is never going to happen with Iran. Now you see coming a little bit more diplomacy, but not as much as I would like to see. Of course, this is typically covering position. They all say this, even when they want war, they say we want diplomacy. He says, I'm not sitting here confident that diplomacy will work. Actually, he knows that it won't work. Everyone knows it. He says, but I think it's worth trying simply because the alternatives are not terribly attractive. Diplomacy may work. If not, and listen to this, this is very important. He says, we should demonstrate to the world that we did everything possible to reach a fair and reasonable diplomatic outcome, and that we couldn't, quote, not because of our policy, but because of theirs. Now, that's the Hegelian message telegraphing, that we're going to set Iran up for failure. And the Bush administration does that by setting preconditions for diplomacy that insults the Iranians, and you have an inflammatory president in Ahmadinejad who's easy to insult, easy to explode verbally. And the Bush administration, quoting Haas, says, we'll learn that this puts them in a better position to manage, or as I say, create the domestic and international policies of escalation. I repeat, he says, once diplomacy fails, the Bush administration will learn that it puts them in a better position to manage the international politics of escalation.
In other words, we'll pretend that we're going to try to avoid war all the time. We really intend to create the war.
That's right. There you have it in black and white. The purpose of diplomacy for the Bush neocons is to create an atmosphere of diplomatic failure in order to justify the future war. And as I said, President Ahmadinejad is the perfect radical. I have suspicions that he's been put there specifically so that this war will come about.
As I always like to say, it looks like he came from central casting someplace.
Haas goes on to say that the visions of a new Middle East that is peaceful, prosperous, and democratic will not be realized. And that's true, mainly because the globalists don't want it to be stable. They can continue to instigate terror and classic agent provocateur actions anytime that they want there. So he says, no viable peace process between Israel and the Palestinians is likely in the foreseeable future. And I would say forever in this life. These two forces are simply so hateful now, at least the Palestinians toward the Israelis, that it's never going to come about. And the Israelis, even though they're fairly neutral in this, as their government is provoking much of this terror that's going on, because the government of Israel is globalist. It's pretending to be right-wing. It's pretending to defend the interests of Israel, just as our government is pretending to defend U.S. interests. But these are globalists. These people want conflict. And that's why, as I stated later in last week's brief, the evidence has come out from intelligence sources feeding information to Debka.com that the Israeli government is looking the other way about all of the smuggling that Egypt is allowing through the southern border with Gaza, where the rockets are coming in, the explosives. These are the same rockets that are being shot off into Israel during the last week, and Israel isn't putting any pressure on Egypt at all. They signed an agreement that they would seal that border, that they would not allow any terrorism to pass. They've also found out that the government of Israel is allowing a lot of the black market cash from various Middle Eastern countries to get through to Hamas, even though the U.S. and Israel has claimed that they don't want any of that money to get to Hamas. They're continuing to make sure that terrorism is well-funded against them. And in the same sense, when these terrorist attacks come, they retaliate. They retaliate in ways which now have changed, which now target civilians more often than not. And this targeting of civilians is causing a great deal of hatred and discontent within the Middle East against Israel and its foreign policy.
Well, everything seems to be lining up for a major war over there in the Middle East. The average American doesn't want it. The average person in Europe doesn't want it. Certainly the average person in Israel and in the Middle East doesn't want it. But it would appear that the men who really control things behind the scenes are intent upon really inciting a major war in the Middle East, and sooner or later, of course.
Well, that's right. And as Haas said in his final closing statement, Der Spiegel asked, will Bush leave the world with more problems than he found them when he came into office? And Haas says, most likely. Of course, he knows, and so do the real controllers of Bush, that Bush is being set up to take the blame for his own by his own globalist advisors. The blame for what? A blame for a major world war that will come because of this continual intervention in the Middle East. And that's the globalist policy. In my theory, it's the only way in which they can get their vaunted New World Order. It's true that they're moving slowly, Dr. Stan, towards implementing a New World Order. They're moving slowly towards regional government in North American continent. They're doing it even illegally without any authorization from Congress. But they can't get it done completely without a war.
And, of course, the last thing they want is for the American people to realize that our leaders are intent upon destroying the sovereignty of our nation, destroying our constitutional guarantees of freedom. And, of course, enslaving the American people. We'll be right back in just a moment. Have you made preparations to look after yourself and your family in case there's a national emergency or a terrorist attack? Well, I want to tell you that the government's looking after their people. In fact, plans have been made to protect people of high-ranking position in government, but they're not making any preparations for the average individual, so you're going to have to look after yourself. If you'd like information on long-term food storage, if you'd like information on the other items you would need in case of a national emergency, why don't you give us a call of 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 and ask for the emergency food catalog. We'll get it right off to you and we'll get the items shipped directly from Ready Reserve Foods. That's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You're going to have to begin making preparations to look after yourself.
Nuclear reactors provide economical energy, but would you be prepared during an accident? During nuclear disasters, great amounts of radioactive iodine are released into the atmosphere, which are then readily absorbed into the body. Medical Corps potassium iodate gives you virtually complete protection from the most feared consequence of a nuclear accident, radioactive poisoning. Potassium iodate can protect against radioactive poisoning by filling the thyroid with good iodine. This shields the thyroid and prevents it from absorbing the harmful radioactive iodine. Potassium iodate is better than the iodide form because it is not as likely to cause upset stomachs in children, the elderly, the sick, and pets. Order the official potassium iodate for only $24 and save $5 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Call now and get free shipping. That's 888-803-4438.
Ted Anderson from Midas. Today is November 21st, 2006. Gold opened at $6.26, and 1 ounce gold coins can be purchased for $6.46.68 and $3.25.89 for half ounce coins. That's $6.46.68 and $3.25.89. On June 4th, 1963, an unknown presidential decree, Executive Order 11,110, was signed with the authority to strip the Federal Reserve Bank of its power to lend money to the United States government and interest. With the stroke of a pen, Kennedy would have put the Fed out of business. The November assassination quieted the production of the new currency. However, the executive order still stands unrepealed. Midas has the Kennedy versus Fed document. Call 800-686-2237. Unlike your liberty, the paper is free. Call 800-686-2237. If you're interested in breaking the bondage of taxation and debt, call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well thought out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at www.heartdrop.com. That toll free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and our guest is Joel Skousen from World Affairs Brief, and we're simply looking at what's going on in the Middle East through the eyes of Richard Haass, who is the president or chairman of the Council on Foreign Relations, certainly one of the major power brokers in the world today. Listen to what he has to say, and this is very well covered in Joel Skousen's latest World Affairs Brief. So pick up the story, Joel.
Well, I'm going to transition to another interview, which I published in last week's World Affairs Brief, and that's one with Brent Scowcroft. Now, Scowcroft is a former national security advisor. These are one of the handlers of the president. These are people who are CFR. He's been an associate of Henry Kissinger. So, and Henry Kissinger is probably the most important. He with Strobe Talbot and Zbigniew Brzezinski. These people are all coming out and playing as if they're against what the Bush administration. They're playing as if they're anti-neocons, when in fact they're all part of the same team. One simply positions themselves opposite. When one team gets in trouble, the others who are out of office position themselves as opposing, so that they can influence the debate as to the phony changes that are proposed. Now, here's what Scowcroft told Turkish Daily News, and you might wonder what he's being quoted in Turkish Daily News. Well, he's a part of the American-Turkish Council who's trying to promote Turkish entrance into the EU. This is a very important globalist strategy, just as they're trying to water down American political strength with a huge, many multi-million influence of Mexicans into the country, both for reasons of future conflict as well as to water down conservative votes. So they're trying to do that in Europe as well. So Scowcroft is on that team now and is being looked upon by Turkey as one of their best friends.
And because what they really want is uncontrolled Muslim immigration into Turkish Muslim immigration into the European Union.
That's right. And that's had disastrous effects already. France already has a major minority of Muslims within the community, and they have turned to rioting on numerous occasions. And this will only get worse, as the welfare state simply cannot pay for all of the benefits that these people come to Europe to want. But Scowcroft says this. He says he's responding to Turkish Daily News saying or talking about separation. The notion of dividing Iraq along Ottoman Empire lines is being voiced by some in Washington. Do you think this idea will capture the imagination of the U.S. people who clearly want to see a way out? And Scowcroft says there are serious people who advocate this, including myself. I advocate it as well. For me, it is inconceivable, he says. It would be a recipe for chaos and conflict in the region. In my
as if we don't already have that.
Yeah, compared to what? Forcing
right.
antagonists to live together like they do now? I mean, that's a real recipe for chaos. It may be hard, he says, to prevent in the end, and that's because it's natural, for it's the natural inclination of all people to use separation to avoid conflict when you have conflicting ethnic groups in the same general area. He says, but I don't see any serious U.S. administration supporting the solution. And that's because he has insider information. He knows that avoiding ethnic autonomy causes even more conflict, leading to constant intervention, which is what the globalists want. So watch what he says next. Quote, I think we need to embed Iraq in a larger regional solution. And that, to me, goes back to the Palestine issue and also Iran. Now, he says, I think this would put us back on the offense psychologically and make Iraq even easier to manage. And I mean, this is just incredible, talking about let's just mold Iran into a larger regional solution, Iraq. What he's basically saying here is we're going to leverage off of the conflict in Iraq to include, to have a major regional solution. And what he means by that regional solution is, in essence, that the U.S. will sit there in the middle of that Middle East, controlling these five major military bases as an armed camp, instigating what they're going to be doing in terms of engaging Iran in conflict. Now, Iran came out and said yesterday that they were going to participate or were willing to participate and negotiate with the United States on trying to bring peace in Iraq. And the United States, while playing lip service to Iran's invitation, immediately started to put it off. We don't realize how Iran could be any help because they're obviously fomenting much of the conflict in Iraq. So they're already poisoning the waters for Iran's overture. But he comes out with this worn-out promise, solve the Palestinian conflict in Iraq, Syria, and Iran hostility will go away. Now, this is more or less baloney. It's a paper promise with no substance. Globalists can talk ad infinitum about hopes for Middle East peace, but it's never going to happen. And they know it. Simply by talking the talk of democracy in the Middle East, they simply engage the world in more delays that will end up in more conflict later on.
Hold that thought.
If you would like a copy of this show, Come to GCNLive.com and reserve it today. Or call toll-free 877-300-7645.
We understand that decisions related to health can be overwhelming. That is why at ResearchedHerbs.com we take pride in offering you herbs whose safety and effectiveness have been proven time and time again. For example, did you know that Live 52, the top-selling natural herbal supplement for liver diseases since 1930, is backed by over 300 research studies and clinical trials and prescribed by more than 200,000 health professionals worldwide? In fact, the effectiveness of all the herbs featured on ResearchedHerbs.com, including those for cholesterol, blood pressure, diabetes, arthritis, cirrhosis, and hepatitis, among others, is extremely well documented. Our website, ResearchedHerbs.com, was created to empower you with the information and answers you need to make the right health decisions. Researched and proven herbs at great prices. Visit us online at ResearchedHerbs.com or call 1-800-845-3841 for more information. That's 1-800-845-3841.
More than 700 chemicals have been found in our drinking water. And did you know that you can have greater exposure to these chemicals by taking hot showers than when you drink the water? That's because many chemicals are inhaled when they evaporate, and others are absorbed through the skin. The KDF shower filter is designed to reduce chlorine, lead, mercury, and iron, and it inhibits the growth of bacteria, mold, algae, and fungus in your shower. The media is non-toxic, environmentally sound, and is recyclable. The KDF shower filter will typically last 10,000 gallons or 1 year, whichever comes first. Hospitals, restaurants, and water treatment facilities use this media to reduce chlorine, iron, heavy metals, and bacteria. What about you? Order your KDF shower filter, normally $49, for our special price of only $35, a $14 savings. Call now to order at 1-888-803-4438. Order today and save $14 by calling 1-888-803-4438.
Hey folks, Alex Jones here with an important question. When was the last time you used Pure Soap? I mean the hard-to-find kind that's all natural and not full of corrosive toxins and chemicals and detergents that just dry out your skin and have been connected to very serious health problems. Let me tell you something about the Calbin Pure Soap Company. There's a 100% unconditional guarantee on all their wonderful products. They're all natural, they're triple concentrated, they're factory direct, factory owned, and operated since 1947. Earth-friendly Pure Soaps for bathing, laundry, and kitchen. Try Pure Soap once and I'll guarantee you'll never use anything else. Now for the first time, Calbin Pure Soap is available factory direct to you and your family. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Call today for a Calbin Soap catalog at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091 or on the web at calbinpuresoap.com.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network. Our guest is Joel Skousen. But before we go on, Joel, I'd like you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with with your organization, World Affairs Brief, how maybe they could even subscribe to it. Hopefully will.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. The World Affairs Brief is my weekly analysis of the news where I try to tell what the powers that be that we deal with are really up to in the world. They can go to my website to find out about it. It's www.worldaffairsbrief.com. That's one word, worldaffairsbrief.com. And on that website, they get a daily dose of all the news stories that my research staff screens through each day. And so that's on the screen, as well as a summary of the current World Affairs Brief, which comes out every Friday. At the end of the week, I analyze the stories that are posted and add my analysis to it. There is a modest subscription fee for the World Affairs Brief. If you want a sample issue, you can email me at editor@worldaffairsbrief, and I'll be happy to send out a sample or two to you. That's editor@worldaffairsbrief. Also on my website, you can look on the left-hand column, and it covers some of the books that I've written in the past. As a high security architect, one is Strategic Relocation, North American Guide to Safe Places, and the other is The Secure Home. It's a huge telephone book size architectural manual on making your home secure and self-sufficient. tremendous resource of material. So all of that's on my website, www.worldaffairsbrief.com.
All right, very good. And incidentally, that email address, is that is it worldaffairsbrief, is that .com.org or just worldaffairsbrief?
.com. It's
.com.
editor at worldaffairsbrief.com.
Okay, very good. All right. Well, let's see. Let's go on then to the next step. We were talking about Brett Scowcroft and his views. Do you want to pick that story up?
Yes. As I say, I don't think there's any hope in the Palestinian in a resolution to the Palestinian conflict, and that isn't because there isn't possible. Although it's very difficult when you have the kind of historical animosity there is between Arabs and Israelis. But this has been exacerbated both by Arab leaders who have been radicalized by in many past decades by the influence of the Soviet Union, and more recently by the more subtle intervention of the globalists, and the Israeli foreign policy at least has been radicalized by these globalist leaders who are pretending to be right-wing leaders. Nothing is more symptomatic of that than the invasion of Lebanon in the past 6 months, where we found that they just went after the civilian infrastructure and went into bombing civilian people, just like the United States did in Kosovo. And they weren't hitting military targets as much as they were hitting infrastructure, penalizing the people, creating hatred among the base population. It was interesting after the Kosovo bombing campaign that Russian public opinion turned from very positive towards America after the phony fall of communism. Russians still believe that it fell, and so does most of the world, but it really was a deceptive fall. But in any case, they continued to love America until that Kosovo bombing, and then all of a sudden Americans were hated. The entire atmosphere within the people in the Slavic world changed towards America, and that's what's happened with this continual intervention in the Middle East, is the public opinion within the Arab world, even the moderates, has turned decidedly anti-American, and that will continue to do so. But as Professor Stephen Zunis said, he said the election of a Democratic majority in the House and Senate is unlikely to result in any serious challenge to the Bush administration's support for Israeli attacks on the civilian populations of their Arab neighbors. And he's very right about that. You know, we didn't hear any criticism of Israel for this concerted attack. It's almost as if the Israelis decided to come on board in the antagonism Hegelian tactic that the Bush administration has been using. And the Israelis prior to the Lebanon War had never used that before. They'd always been very moderate, very restrained in their counterattacks for terrorism, trying to avoid civilian population casualties, and now it's just the opposite. Go out of the way to create civilian damage. And I think this can only be that the globalist government of Israel has bought into the concept of antagonizing the world to create a larger crisis that we can resolve in a warfare manner, the longstanding things that cannot be accomplished by diplomacy, or at least will not be accomplished by diplomacy. So Israel continues to hype the Iran threat as well. First, it was Prime Minister Olmert a week and a half ago saying that Iran's nuclear program must be stopped at all costs. Also talking, using the language of George Bush, that he said all military options are on the table for Israel. Then when he came to the United States, he downplayed those remarks. He made them a couple days before coming to the States, and then he downplayed them. And then phony right-wing leader of the Likud party, Benjamin Netanyahu, took over and began to carry forth, saying to Haaretz, the major left-wing newspaper there, Netanyahu has begun escalating the demands for an attack on Iran. I mean, it's just blatant, Dr. Stan. He said, drawing a direct analogy between Iran and Nazi Germany, Likud leader Benjamin Netanyahu asserted Monday that the Iranian nuclear program posed a threat not only to Israel, but to the entire Western world, that there was still time, however, to prevent Tehran from acquiring nuclear weapons. I mean, this is just incredible to compare Nazi Germany with Iran, as if Iran had the power to go rampaging through the world like Germany did.
And if the idea that Iran would possibly attack the United States if we don't take them out first, or even the fact that Iran would actually seriously consider attacking Israel, realizing we would certainly come to Israel's defense, and then we'd be in a war. I mean, the Iranian leaders may be crazy, but they're not that crazy at all. And my concern is that people are actually believing this. This is just what Dick Cheney did. Oh, we've got to go after Saddam Hussein. We're not going to be safe as long as he's there with those weapons of mass destruction that threaten the United States. Nobody in their right mind would think that Saddam Hussein would ever have even considered attacking the United States. And yet, they use that as a justification for drawing into a war where literally tens of thousands of Iraqis and certainly perhaps even hundreds of thousands of Iraqis have perished, and of course so many American soldiers not only dead but crippled or incapacitated for life, and all unnecessary.
That's right. You know, there was another blockbuster article that came out from Seymour Hersh this week on the Middle East, essentially charging that the administration is, no matter what they're saying, diplomatic, is still intending to attack Iran. It's my opinion that this is going to be delayed a little bit because of this diplomatic ruse. They're going to play a little longer and a little harder about the diplomacy issue, but the Iran attack is going to happen one way or the other. Here's what he said in the New Yorker. He said he reported that Vice President Dick Cheney attended a national security discussion a month before the November 7th congressional elections. And quoting him, he says, if Democrats won on November 7th, the vice president said that victory would not stop this administration from pursuing a military option with Iran. Now, Hersh wrote, citing a source familiar with the discussion, and the Democrats did, in fact, wrest control of the House from the Republicans. And President Bush has been very, very amenable to the Democrats, saying, and as I said, there is a ruse going on right now claiming that there's going to be a change in policy in Iraq. It will be exacerbated by the Baker Commission. But this is the inside story where Cheney says, no matter what happens, we're still going after Iraq. Cheney said the White House would circumvent any restrictions imposed by a Democratic legislature. In other words, this arrogance that we're going to do what we want no matter what the Democrats. Of course, the Democrat overture will be just a ruse as well. There won't be anything that will, in essence, really stop the administration. It will give the appearance of opposition only.
Well, I really fear, when I reflect that this is going to have a tremendous impact on America. I don't think there's any way we can go to war with Iran without inflaming the entire Islamic world against the United States. And I think what I fear is it's going to lead to the overthrow of the more moderate governments over there, whether we should call them moderate or not. But Saudi Arabia is shaky, and Egypt is not in very good shape. And there's tremendous opposition, to this autocratic rule, in Algiers and Morocco and many of these other countries. And it could lead to it's almost a cascade or domino effect, as many of the other countries over there would fall to the radical Islamists. We're doing everything we can to increase this radical Islamic movement throughout the Near East, the Middle East, and certainly even in Turkey, where the radicals are increasing their influence almost on a daily basis.
Well, that's in line with even in Pakistan, we're finding that the Pakistani government, because it's so closely associated with the United States, is getting more and more unstable all the time. And I think there's something to the report that I talked about in my World Affairs brief, that the Pakistanis revealed that the U.S. forced them to attack this school, this fundamentalist school, and that was only to make sure that the U.S. is inflaming more hatred in Pakistan. I'm also going to be covering this next week, the fact that the nuclear agreement between India and the U.S. violates all of the non-proliferation agreements so far, and the United States is saying that they will not be offering the same deal to Pakistan. Of course, Pakistan and India are very arch rivals in the nuclear field, and that will also antagonize the opposition to Musharraf when they see that Pakistan is closed out of the nuclear technology game.
The thing that really disturbs me is if Musharraf should fall in Pakistan, it means that the radical Islamists will have all of their missiles, will have all of their nuclear weapons, and I don't know how many they have, but a significant number, and that will certainly destabilize the entire Middle East. And it's almost as if that is exactly what we're trying to do. And the average American can't see the big picture, but there is no other logical explanation in my way of thinking.
And then you look at Representative Rangel of New York here trying to revive legislation on the military draft. Charles Rangel, of course, is an arch leftist, is claiming that, on Face the Nation, that he says there's no question in my mind that this president, this administration would never have invaded Iraq on the flimsy evidence that was presented if indeed we had to draft members of Congress and the administration thought that their kids from their communities would be placed in harm's way. So what the devil is he's calling for a draft then, even though he believes that the war is phony? This is a real interesting scenario. Nobody's calling for a draft, but suddenly he is. And he's very high up in the Ways and Means Committee in the Democratic establishment.
But I think that the average American thought his son was going to be sent over there to die, and if he was actually having to pay for this foolish war rather than having it all done on borrowed money, I think there'd be an outcry all across America. But as long as it's somebody else's son or daughter who's dying, that's a different situation.
Well, as I pointed out many times, that's the real reason for all this deficit spending, is so that you don't have to let anyone pay for any of these unpopular policies. And that's why the American people continue to be relatively isolated from this war, is that they're not getting a bill for $3,000 a month, as they should be.
Right.
And it's not a matter of passing it on to our grandchildren. I think that our government intends to simply wash all this debt away when the United States is attacked in the next Third World War.
And
they
the savings,
seem to be spending with abandon.
And the savings and the security and the stocks and bonds and the annuities and the CDs of all of our citizens who think they're so well off will suddenly be washed away right with that.
So it appears that there's a major campaign for the presidency brewing between Giuliani and McCain. McCain continues to be in the news and now is coming on with a typical neocon reaction about more troops in Iraq. He's siding with this policy of we need to go in there and finish this job and to beef up troops to be able to give the Iraqis the maximum opportunity to increase their security potential before we start drawing down. Now, that's always going to be the promise of more troops, more intervention in Iraq, so that we can continue. Then we can redeploy after we have solved this problem, or even if we haven't solved it, we're going to get it to, quote, a manageable level. This simply will not happen. It's going to keep our troops there and continue to create hostility within the Middle East.
But it sounds so logical, Joel. We just send over more troops, then we can withdraw our troops. I mean, what's wrong with that rationale? Unless you stop and think about what they're doing. They've lied to us over and over again. Why should we think that they're telling us the truth now?
That's right. It's going to be very interesting to see how this campaign comes out between Giuliani and McCain. Both of these people are notoriously immoral individuals. And, the constitutional Christian conservative right is going to have real problems with these. That's why the establishment is pretty worried about the candidacy of Governor Mitt Romney of Massachusetts, very charismatic person, up and coming. He definitely is not in the pocket of the establishment, and there's even, of course, many evangelicals are upset because he's a Mormon, but there's also a group of evangelicals that started to sponsor his candidacy only because they feel like the Republican establishment, in pushing either McCain or Giuliani, has always betrayed them with people that tend to be hostile to the family values, even though they may play lip service to it.
Well, I think it is going to be a fascinating time, but both Giuliani and McCain, neither one of them are worthy of our support.
That's right.
But you think maybe they have somebody else hanging up back in the wings, like that, like the racehorse who's holding back. But, if we come into the final stretch, he starts moving up.
Well, it's interesting that Giuliani continues to be promoted worldwide as if he's going to be president someday. He was invited to this signing of this peace treaty between the Maoist and factions in Nepal and the Nepalese government, attended by China and otherwise. He jet sets all around the world at these major events. He's treated as a huge celebrity, and it just doesn't fit, other than the fact that the powers that be have plans for Giuliani. Now, Giuliani's got a lot of baggage. You know, he's been photographed in dressing in drag. He used to live with a couple of homosexuals, had three divorces, and he's just, you know, he hired Bernie Kerik and kept him on even after he was found out to be a con man. This is definitely an insider mafia-type organization that Giuliani runs, and I haven't even begun to cover the problems with the 9/11 involvement of New York and the cover-up with government involvement in 9/11, which all the evidence points to the fact that Giuliani was implicated in that. This is a real insider player who the establishment wants, I believe, to be president. Whether or not he can make it opposing or being in favor of gay marriage and being pro-abortion, I don't know.
Well, it's going to be very interesting to see anyway, Joel. Thank you so very much for being with us. Again, our guest has been Joel Skelton, World Affairs Brief. Go there every morning and read that website. You've really enjoyed. God bless. We'll talk to you later and have a wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving. Bye-bye. I guess we've lost Joel. And well, anyway, we'll be back in just a moment to wrap up today's program.
America Discount Home Medical Equipment sells at discount prices. We sell wheelchairs, oxygen equipment, hospital beds, commodes, fast safety products, walkers, and other items needed for the care of your loved one at home. Our phone number is 1-800-956-6616. We sell at one half of retail price or less. We have free shipping and no sales tax for any shipment outside of California. You can expect to receive the item within 7 days. Our website address is www.home-med-equip.com. Again, our phone number is 1-800-956-6616.
Hello, folks. This is Alex Jones introducing you to the incredible Berkey Solar Charger, your source for free solar electricity. This portable system is the size of a book when folded and small enough to fit into a briefcase, handbag, or glove compartment. The Berkey Solar Charger has been designed to power the Berkey Lights LED lamps as well as other applications such as mobile phones, radios, digital cameras, and PDAs when electricity is not available. Its multi-voltage capabilities, multiple adapters, and rechargeable batteries provide for a flexible source of auxiliary backup power. Simply place the Berkey Solar Charger in the sun, plug in your application, and you have power. Disconnect your application, and the system automatically begins charging its own rechargeable batteries. Get the incredible Berkey Solar Charger for only $75 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. And tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438.
Hey, ladies, if you love to shop, then visit HerbalHealer.com to browse through their online catalog. You'll find thousands of effective, alternative, and natural products for you and the whole family. Besides the amazing products you'll find, this shopping is guilt-free because you're investing in your health, and your health is priceless. While online, sign up to receive the Herbal Healer newsletter, which will keep you informed on the latest and greatest products and education. Did you know that Herbal Healer offers not only natural medicine, but also tension-relieving herbal teas, cookbooks, aromatherapy, products for pampering, and more great products to help you soothe and relax after a long day. Want to learn more for yourself and to help others in the future? Join the Herbal Healer Correspondence Program. You can work at your own pace from the comfort of your own home. This accredited, exciting program can help you gain skills and knowledge. Can you believe you can find all this at one stop? HerbalHealer.com, celebrating 18 years of dedication.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and I do hope that Many of you will give serious consideration to supporting the Radio Liberty family, or joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters and helping us as we reach out 5 hours every day across America, trying to educate people about the spiritual battle in which we're engaged. Now, if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, and for a suggested gift of $20 a month or more, you'll get our four best tapes or CDs in the month, and you'll get our monthly newsletter. But more than that, you'll be helping us as we try to educate people across America. We're moving rapidly into a period of chaos and crisis. I believe that it's only a matter of time before we're involved in a horrible war in the Middle East that is going to have horrible consequences here at home. The president has passed legislation that allows him to create a dictatorship, and even certainly liberal Senator Patrick Leahy of Connecticut, Democrat Senator Patrick Leahy of Connecticut, has talked about the Military Commissions Act and the John Warner National Defense Appropriations Act as a blueprint for dictatorship. And it's not simply by chance that the administration has authorized $385 million that was given to Halliburton to build detention camps in America. What can you do to help us get the information out? Well, let me suggest the material we have on concentration camps and the coming dictatorship. We have a special, and you can get that by itself, or you can get the amazing clips, or you can get just the video Bob Wire over America. With that, of course, you'll get some paperwork we have that go into the background of the use of civilians, internees, and military camps. It's all laid out, ladies and gentlemen. It's all planned, and you'll actually hear on this, videos, the amazing clip videos, Congressman Henry Gonzalez saying, yes, there really is a plan in case of a national emergency to suspend the Constitution and arrest people and put them into detention camps. We're not playing little games. This is the truth, and we have wicked and evil people in positions of power. There really are secret societies out there. You need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, to see the video or the audio tape, and then copy that if you'd like to get a case of those books. Why, it's a wonderful means of reaching people, and an inexpensive means of reaching people. The other thing you could do would be to help us get Dr. Dennis Cuddy's book back in print. That's Dr. Dennis Cuddy's book, Secret Records Revealed, and we've added an index, and we've added an epilogue, and you can get a whole case of his books, as you can with my books, for $149.95. That's $149.95 plus shipping. With Dr. Cuddy's books, you're not going to get them until they're actually printed. With mine, you can get them now. But give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Of course, you can still get individual books, or if you get them in large quantities, why, we'll get a discount for you. Get them out, get people reading, get them listening to our programs, and begin to understand the spiritual nature of the forces which are energizing America, or energizing this whole movement towards a new world order and a new world religion. For those of you who don't know, Rick Warren has recently announced that he is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations and the Oxford Analytica. What's the Oxford Analytica? Well, we'll have to tell you that one of the days. In fact, maybe we can get Dr. Cuddy to tell us tomorrow when he's going to be our guest on this same hour of the Radio Liberty program. But if you think the CFR is a strange organization, where do you hear about the Oxford Analytica and who they really are? And Rick Warren has sent a letter and an email to Joseph Farah. It's covered in an article on WorldNet Daily, saying, why are you criticizing me? I know a lot about what's going on in the world. Well, I belong to I'm a member of the CFR and the Oxford Analytica. I remember Rick Warren is he was named by Time Magazine as America's pastor. Isn't that nice to know that the man that Time Magazine named as America's pastor just happens to be a member of the Council on Foreign Relations and the Oxford Analytica? Well, remember our number, 1-800-544-8927. Go to our webpage, radioliberty.com. Again, our number, 1-800-544-8927. We'll be right back.
Dad, can we stop? We need to go to the bathroom.
What? Again? We just stopped 2 hours ago.
Honey, let's stop, because I gave the kids their Sport Berkey water bottles.
Why did you do that?
Because they can't drink and talk at the same time, and that way we don't have to listen to them singing,
"Are we there yet? Are we there yet?"
for the entire trip.
I didn't think about that. Great idea.
Yeah, and it's cheap entertainment for the kids. Bottled water costs around 75 cents a bottle, and using our Berkey Sport...
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you that views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests. And our guest today is Colonel Ron Ray, and we're going to be talking about the attack on Christianity, because those of you who listen to our program regularly realize there is a conspiracy against God, and of course that battle is being waged right now in our military academies, in the military here in the United States, because if you can destroy the military foundation of this nation, you can destroy our military. Well, simply, Colonel Ron Ray was a military officer, retired Marine Corps colonel. He had served in the Defense Department as Assistant Secretary of Defense during the Reagan years. He served on a presidential panel to determine whether or not we should have gays and women in combat in the military. And he has, of course, an organization that goes into the background of what's going on today and try to get people educated about the religious foundations of our military and how they're under attack today. First Principles Press, you'll want to go to their website and pull down their information. Colonel, thank you very much for being with us today again.
Dan, it's always a pleasure.
Will you pick up the story there?
Well, I'm going to focus on the attack on prayer in the military. I think that there's certainly most Americans don't know that the U.S. Supreme Court held four different times that we were a Christian nation between 1844 and 1931. Perhaps the most historic, that you put that information out, and certainly I have too, you know, about the 1892, many, many months, much more than a year, went into the opinion in that case where nine Supreme Court justices looked at American history all the way back to 1492. The first document that the court considered was the official charter by the King and Queen of Spain, Isabel and Ferdinand, to Christopher Columbus. And they basically determined that in 400 years, from 1492 to 1892, there was not a single official document, or they call that organic utterance, contrary to the notion that we were founded on a belief in God and that we were a Christian nation, because both the Old and New Testament formed the foundation of American law and civil government. And that was the reason for that. So that stayed until 1931. The Supreme Court would still hold that. And then, of course, with the Roosevelt administration and the national emergency being declared in March, things began to change. Most Americans were unaware of it until 1962, when Engle versus Vitale was decided by a divided Supreme Court 6-3, and the notion of prayer going all the way back to the 1600s in any kind of common school or so-called public education. Prayer was a very common way of opening the day, and Bible reading was being done commonly in 6-3 without citing a single precedent. That 1892 case, unanimous case of Holy Trinity Church versus the United States, they cited 66 precedents. for the proposition, and they said we could cite this and a whole mass of other official documents, organic utterances, all saying the same thing. There's not a single dissident voice among the official acts of our government, any branch of our government, going all the way back to the, to 1492. So in 1962, we saw a breach in that, that most Americans woke up to realize something was amiss.
All right, fine. Well, we're going to be back in just a moment with Colonel Ron Ray. Actually, if you go to my website and you read down my list of recent letters, we actually take all the salient parts out of that decision of the United States versus the Church of the Holy Trinity. You'll actually see so much of that case actually quoted in my recent newsletter entitled, Is the United States a Christian Nation? Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest this afternoon is Colonel Ron Ray, a retired Marine Corps colonel, but right now, of course, he's working with First Principles Press, which is his organization, trying to address the issue of prayer in the United States military. And there is an organized, orchestrated, coordinated, very well-financed effort to destroy the Christian foundation of America. And, of course, this comes from the great foundations, from a people of great wealth who have a different agenda because, in my estimation, they worship a different God. But under any circumstances, one of the major places that they're working today is in our military now. Everybody knows what they've done in our schools and what they're doing in our local communities as far as taking out, you know, recognition of Christmas and taking out the nativity scene and taking down crosses and taking crosses out of cemeteries. But one of the most serious and most dangerous things they're doing is trying to take prayer and recognition of God out of the military. Because if you destroy the religious foundation of our military men, you destroy the very military foundation that preserves our nation. So you pick up this journal, the story there, Colonel.
I will. And the reason that's so important is those that are given the sword to bear the sword on behalf of a nation, America's been unique in the sense that given an illegal order because of the virtue, honor, subordination, patriotism, the oath, which says that we only obey orders of the president and the officers appointed over us, comma, according to regulations and the Uniform Code of Military Justice, so help me God. The point would be that many times our country didn't have a standing army until after World War II, a large standing army, because if you take the king's coin, you'll do the king's bidding. And that's been true down for centuries and centuries and centuries. America had a militia that could be called up, and after World War II, we've had an increasingly large standing army throughout the Cold War. And so the idea here that that you could get men with weapons to overturn posse comitatus, which is that you can't use the American military in a police function against their own citizens and that kind of thing. So the moral foundations of the military are essential. Now, I'm going to give what may be very helpful to your listeners. I'm going to try to go through about 15 or 16 events in a chronology that will give you an overview, and then we can pick up pieces of it to stand and talk about it, because I think this might be helpful. Consider this an overview, and maybe we can do something more detailed in another time. But
all right, before you go into that, Colonel, I'm just going to ask you to hold your thought for just a minute, because I want to bring our other stations back on board right now. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Colonel Ron Ray, and he's going to give us a chronology of this organized attack on prayer in the United States military. Ladies and gentlemen, this has nothing to do with the First Amendment or a wall of separation between church and state. It is an intense hatred of Christianity. It's an intense hatred of God. And these people really want to destroy our country because their loyalty is not to the United States, but to this internationalist dream of a new world order and a new world religion. So, Colonel, pick up the story.
All right. I'm going to just give you some summaries, and we'll talk about it. The ACLU stirred up litigation against the Virginia Military Institute in May of 2001. Objecting to a non-denominational cadet-led prayer before the evening meal. And I thought, when I heard about that, because in August of 2001, my son matriculated at BMI, was aware of what was going on over there, and then 9/11 happened, and our guard and reserve, people are notified, mobilizations begin to occur, and all that kind of thing. But in any event, that was an important event. The next important event that happened was I figured that after 9/11 and the president calls the nation to prayer and you get this rally around what's going on in the 9/11, both at the Pentagon. I had friends who had friends in the Pentagon who died, and of course friends in New York who died. And I figured that the ACLU and the other radical unit groups that were with them would crawl back in their holes after 9/11, but they didn't. They continued to prosecute that case. In November of 2001, and this gets to be very important, the 9-foot statute at the Air Force Academy of Colonel Rob Reisner was unveiled, honoring his 7 years as a prisoner of war of the North Vietnamese. Reisner wrote in his book, The Passing of the Night, My 7 Years as a POW in North Vietnam. This is what he said. Reisner said in the statute that went up, and this is why he was being honored at 9 foot tall statute, I could not have existed if I had not been able to pray. To be able to mention in prayer the names of my wife, my children, friends or relatives, one of my fellow POWs who I knew was being tortured or mistreated, brought us together, maintained us. The thousands of miles, the walls of my cell, the guards were all transcended by this dimension of communication. That's one of the things he said. In June of 2002, the Senate voted unanimously to condemn the Ninth Circuit's removal of Under God from the Pledge of Allegiance, which came out of California. In March of 2003, Senate Resolution 91 unanimously affirmed the importance of the National Day of Prayer. So this is being done like Eisenhower in 1956 put Under God in the pledge, because there was an attack, an increasingly attack on the foundations of the country as denominated in the Declaration of Independence, which said, you know, there is a creator. It's a self-evident truth that there's a creator and it's not us, and that our rights and our liberties and our form of government and laws come from the Old and New Testament, come from God, not from government. So we were one nation under God, not one nation under government. In May of 2003, after the VMI lost the prayer case in the district court, the Fourth Circuit affirmed a ban on prayer at VMI. In the meantime, ACLU and other groups had threatened the Citadel. Texas A&M has a strong corps of cadets. They'd also gone against the Naval Academy, West Point, and the Air Force Academy. The Citadel, all but the Naval Academy and VMI, made changes in their prayer policy. The chief counsel of the ACLJ, Christian legal organization, reported to the Christian Post his argument for ceremonial deism as a constitutionally acceptable standard for measuring inaugural prayers as well as the Ten Commandments displays. In other words, ceremonial deism is something that came out of one of the Rostow brothers in the notion that we are not a Christian nation, we're not even under God, but that we can tolerate a few things out of ceremonial deism, empty expressions that have no religious content or not, and one of the leading conservative organizations acquiesced in that at that particular point in time. In October of 2005, a radical lawyer named Mickey Weinstein sued the Air Force Academy, claiming senior officers and cadets were illegally trying to impose Christianity on others at the academy. And 25th of October 2005, 3 weeks after that, Congressman Walter Jones of North Carolina addressed a letter to the president signed by 74 other congressmen, quote, requesting that you, as commander-in-chief, protect by executive order the constitutional right of military chaplains to pray according to their faith, close quote. That, by the way, was never responded to in writing. On the 9th of November, 2005, with all this as a backdrop now, Senator Jim Inhofe, Republican of Oklahoma, called for and received a unanimous Senate vote for an amendment, 2440, in the Defense Authorization Act of 2006, affirming freedom to pray at our service academies and giving the superintendent authority to do that at any academy function. I was very proud about that, Stan. I mean, I give all honor and glory to Almighty God, but they used the research we did in the taking prayer all the way back to 1774 and the 67 prayer books. Inhofe, in his speech on the 9th, cited that work as the foundation of his motion. And we were very pleased that 99 votes in favor of that in the Senate, in favor of giving the superintendent the authority to pray. The House also passed it, and George Bush signed it into law in January of 2006. December 1, 2005, a federal judge, David Hamilton, ruled that official prayers opening the Indiana legislature must not be discernible as Christian. December 13, 2005, a number of Jewish leaders met in New York to discuss the threat of the religious right at a big conference. It was the strategies that were being explored there. And that gets to be very relevant because the groups that joined the ACLU against VMI, and that some of which also threatened the Naval Academy, were the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith, the American Jewish Committee, and Americans United for the Separation of Church and State.
The Americans United group is Barry Lynn, and that's actually a religious group, supposedly.
That's who joined in and ganged up on VMI. The Naval Academy didn't knuckle under to the written threats, and no suit was ever brought against them. In fact, they resisted it at the VMI Navy football game in a very stirring moment. They opened the game with prayer, which is not unusual, but then the whole corps of midshipmen stood up and sang "Eternal Father, Strong to Save," which is the hymn of the Naval Academy. But they don't sing that before football games. So what they were doing is standing in unity with the VMI cadets who come up to play, and the Naval Academy midshipmen who all stood up and sang that song, "Eternal Father, Strong to Save." That's a very strong moment. February 10th of this year, 06, the White House policy advisor Claude Allen resigned abruptly after 5 years. He had assured Congressman Jones that the president would speak to the Secretary of Defense to assure that military chaplains had the freedom to offer prayers according to whatever denomination then called them to serve. Now, let me make this point for your listeners. There are two issues here that people confuse in their mind. There's the right of chaplains to conduct services and pray. And then there's the right that is even more important, that military leaders going back to George Washington have always followed the Joshua formulation of leading in prayer before they lead in battle. George Patton is a great example that many people remember seeing the fact that he called the whole Third Army to pray during the Battle of the Bulge, a very famous moment. But the only thing that happened when the 75 congressmen had signed on Walter Jones's call for an executive order to protect prayer in the military. Remember, George W. Bush called the whole nation, including the military, to prayer very soon after 9/11, and here he was being asked to protect that particular right. There was no written response to that matter. Claude Allen, a policy advisor, had basically said that the president would speak to the Secretary of Defense. The Air Force Academy hired a member of one of the radical groups going after VMI to give them advice on the separation of church and state and what prayer and religious practices should be tolerated at the Air Force Academy. Now, so they're hiring somebody from the other side.
Why would you hire somebody from the other side to advise you unless you were going to throw the game?
Well, I mean, and in other words, you're paying money for somebody who you already know what his position is. I guess that's surrendering before the battle is fought.
Amen.
Remember that the Reasoner statue was built 9 feet tall, and the reason it was built 9 feet tall, it says that after he led in prayer, it was forbidden. They were forbidden to pray. Reasoner got up, led him in prayer, and the Lord's Prayer and another prayer, and they began to sing. The North Vietnamese got him out, dragged him out to torture him while everybody else kept singing and hymns and praying. And Reasoner said later on, and he said, "I felt 9 feet tall, knowing that I'd done the right thing, and I was suffering, you know, for my Lord and Savior." And they took him out. So they built this 9-foot statue, which was dedicated November 16, 2001, after 9/11, after the suit was filed against VMI. The Air Force Academy did that, and then here they are in February 10th of 2006, really, you know, 4.5 years later, they're hiring somebody who opposes prayer. where the statue at the Air Force Academy. The Washington Times in February, on Valentine's Day of 06, reported that a chaplain serving in Iraq had been forbidden to preach in chapel services because he made comments about military intolerance toward Christian expression while in Iraq. The White House press secretary refused to answer questions about the incident.
And, of course, people think we have a Christian administration. That is all window dressing, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, the president could end this foolishness overnight. He has no intention of doing it because there is a conspiracy against God. There's a conspiracy against Christianity. And what people do not really understand is that they realize if they can destroy the Christian foundations of our military, then, of course, they've destroyed the military. And this idea of prayer in our military, you know, it goes back all the way to George Washington. The military is a completely different world than the regular world we live in. The military is built upon discipline, but honor, integrity, and belief in Jesus Christ has always been a fundamental, but it would appear that is soon to be gone. Well, Colonel, pick the story up there.
Okay, now I'm gonna digress slightly before I finish the chronology of events, which begin to see that there are those in Congress, particularly in the House, that have been willing to defend the original premise that chaplains can always pray, and therefore so could military leaders always pray in their own denomination, in their own faith. And that wouldn't just be the conduct of their service, the religious service. It could be any group of that's being prayed. Goes back to the 1860s during the Civil War. Abraham Lincoln put together a law that confirmed that very point. It had been unbroken. So you've got people like Duncan Hunter, chairman of the House Armed Services Committee, Walter Jones, Senator Jim Inhofe in the Senate. Now, so the 9th of November, the Senate reserves the right to prayer at the service academies. That's signed into law, passes the House in December, signed into law by George Bush in January. Within 30 days, less than 30 days, the Air Force puts out restrictions on prayer, including at the Air Force Academy, right after the U.S. Congress. Remember, the Congress is the civil authority over the military, and when the president is commander-in-chief, he's got a helmet on. He may wear a coat and tie, but he's not a civilian. All his commander-in-chief authority is military authority. That's why there's 12 or 13 specific military powers given to Congress, and only one given to the president, and that is, and none to the judiciary. The president is commander-in-chief, which means he's no longer the chief executive when he's commander-in-chief. He's commander-in-chief, which is mean he's got a helmet with more stars than anybody else on. So here's Congress exercising its right, but here's the Pentagon, the Air Force Academy, and the Air Force frequently lead in these ideas because it's a very modern, technically driven service that was not created until after World War II. So they kind of lead the way. But what happened after that was that the House came back and passed legislation to specifically reserve the right for Christian chaplains of any denomination to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. And that was added to the Defense Authorization Act of 07. The 06 was signed in January. 07 was already underway. And when that got over to the Senate, John Warner, citing Donald Rumsfeld, the Secretary of Defense, took that provision out. I think it was Section 540. I'm not, as my memory serves, I believe it was Section 540. And it went to the conference committee, and your listeners may not know, but if the House version of a bill is different than the Senate version of a bill, and if they both pass, they have to, the first thing they do is go to conference, and if they can come up with the same bill, they go back and they're quickly approved. The same way. Well, the House put it in, the Senate took it out, it goes to conference. The House prevailed in the first conference, in the second conference, the Senate prevailed. And so the point is that that provision was taken out. While this was going on, many pro-family and so-called Christian organizations are picking up the press headline when the House was prevailing and saying, we win, we win, we win. We weren't winning. I mean, there were good guys standing up and trying to do the right thing, but we did not prevail. And I guess they do that for further their business plan to let everybody know that to think that we're winning. But in point of fact, at the end of the day, that provision was removed from the 07 Defense Authorization Act. And I think everybody should be really clear. There were a lot of church groups that did the same thing. In other words, the Baptist press across the country said House okays military prayers in Jesus' name, but they didn't report what happened in the Senate.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Colonel Ron Ray. And go ahead, Colonel. We're just basically talking about the fact that the average individual really doesn't understand what's going on as far as this attack on the very foundation of our military and the religious foundation of our military. And if these people do not have a religious foundation, you really want to put them weapons in their hands and possibly having those military forces used against the population of the United States or against any other population in the world for that matter. So pick the story up from there, Colonel.
Well, this is the speech. I think this may be helpful that September 19th, that John Warner gave a lengthy speech on the Senate floor opposing the prayer language in the 07 Authorization Act. He quoted the SecDef as follows. He's quoting Donald Rumsfeld. Quote, this provision could marginalize chaplains. This is the one that permits chaplains to pray in the name of Christ, who in exercising their conscience generate discomfort at mandatory formations. Such erosion of unit cohesion is avoided by the military's present insistence on inclusive prayer at interfaith gatherings, something the House legislation would operate against. September 29th, the Armed Forces News announced that this prayer provision was holding up passage of the entire National Defense Authorization Act of 2007. Pressure, right? The conference report accompanying the 2007 Authorization Act instructs the Secretary of the Air Force. Now, let me say this. It was removed in the statute, but a provision was put into the conference report. John Warner pointed out on the floor of the Senate that the conference report is not law. But in the conference report, the conferees were forced because of the House's insistence. Now, this House majority is the one that was defeated earlier this month. The House majority has been the one that's standing up against the lack of border security. They've been standing up for Christian prayer. They've been doing a lot of that. They no longer exist, as of that particular election. And they did call for the Air Force and the Navy to rescind the regulations that they passed in February of 2006. Right after the bill passed, given the superintendents of service academies authority. Now, I think it's very ironic that in early October, the National Association of Evangelicals President Ted Haggard wrote to Senator John Warner asking him to delete the prayer support language in the final bill, describing it as unnecessary and counterproductive. And that's the same guy that later on was removed as the head of the National Association of Evangelicals.
I mean, this righteous man, then, who supposedly leads the evangelicals of the United States, is writing to the United States Senator saying, take that off, we don't need it.
Unnecessary and counterproductive, and then, of course, the accusation was made by a homosexual who, for pay, encountered claiming having a long-standing relationship with this very guy who wrote that particular letter. I think that's interesting, and then October 17th, the 07 National Defense Authorization Act, touted in May as protecting prayer, signed into law with Section 590, I believe, the prayer provision had been deleted after all that activity. So that's where we are right now.
I wonder how many other covert homosexuals are working at the upper echelons of Christianity today, sabotaging and destroying and undermining the very fabric of our faith.
Well, it's there's no question that there's as many Republican, many of them are not as well known as the ones in the Democratic Party, but certainly that's been true. Those around Dick Cheney, around Rumsfeld, are well known by anybody who's paying attention.
What you're talking about is the homosexuals. The key advisors to Rumsfeld and Cheney are homosexuals.
There have been during Cheney's tenure as Secretary of Defense, the Assistant Secretary of Defense for Public Affairs, the chief spokesman in the Pentagon, was an open homosexual on the cover of The Advocate, and similarly, the man assigned to review all political appointments in the Pentagon under Dick Cheney and under Don Rumsfeld was a open homosexual from Florida. Now, let me say this, that coming back to the generality. prayer's not an abstract theory in the military. I mean, you know, war is maybe theoretical to the Council on Foreign Relations and most of our politicians, but those that have gone in harm's way, General George Washington said this: the blessing and protection of heaven are at all times necessary, but especially so in times of public distress, danger, and war.
And if you, Sidney, are men really going to fight for America if there's no religious connotation there, if there's no religious dedication, if America is just another country? I mean, America was unique because we were a Christian nation. Nobody questioned we were a Christian nation until about 1960, when an organized, orchestrated, very well-financed effort began progressively, step by step, to destroy the religious foundation of our nation. And here's the head of the National Association of Evangelicals doing everything he can to aid in the destruction of prayer in our military. Well, Colonel, go right ahead with the story, because it's really so distressing, and I would think it would be distressing to everyone out there in the listening audience to understand what's happening. Our military is not under attack, from the Shias or from the Sunnis. It's attacked from our leaders right here at home.
Well, I think you can see the divided councils, certainly in the Congress, but we've got friends in the House. There are people who are willing to stand up, put a lot on the line. I think that's important to know. George Marshall, you know a lot about George Marshall. I'm sure you've read books on George Marshall. But George Marshall, when he was Chief of Staff of the Army and later when he was Secretary of Defense and Truman, he made this statement a number of times. He said, "The spiritual side and life of a soldier is more important than his physical equipment." That's a very strong statement for a guy that... involved in a lot of controversy, the whole Marshall Plan. He finished first in his class. He was a VMI graduate, by the way, first in his class. And he said that. Eisenhower offered prayers in many of the prayer books that were distributed in World War II. He said to a newsman, he described the force of prayer while he was Supreme Allied Commander of American and British forces, and this is what he told the newsman. It was reported, "A prayer I once heard a company commander repeat and lead for his men on a cold, wet night just before starting a march towards the front line struck me more forcibly than almost any other I had ever heard." You know, so he's acknowledging that as commander-in-chief of five stars. Jerry Denton, a friend of mine, was U.S. Senator from Alabama from 81 to 86. Should have been reelected in 86, but he spent all of his time fighting the good fight in Washington, was a POW for 6 years. Hal Holbrook did a really nice job of portraying Denton. And When Hell Was in Session is the name of the book Denton wrote. And he said, "A man does a lot of praying in an enemy prison. Prayer, even more than sheer strength, thought, or training, is the firmest anchor for a man left on his naked spiritual reserves." So the point is, we're at war, and it's clear to see that, you know, we have enemies foreign and domestic, and those that would try to leave our military without a prayer, particularly in a country with the strong Christian underpinnings, you know, the attack on Christian prayer, you would think that would be suspended if we were trying to prevail militarily in a so-called global war on terror. And the notion that this energy is being spent to limit that for these soldiers. World War II, there was a famous book written by an Army Air Corps pilot, and the title of the book was "God Is My Co-Pilot."
Hold that thought right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Colonel Ron Ray. We're talking about certainly the attack on our military, the foundation of our military, which is belief in God. And Colonel was just saying a very famous book during the Second World War was entitled "God Is My Co-Pilot," and I remember that so well. But before we go on, Colonel, I'd like you to get out your website, your telephone number, and what people can get from your ministry.
Well, we've got this whole history of the VMI prayer case. We've got on the website, firstprinciplespress.org. firstprinciplespress.org. We've got the brief that was filed in the Supreme Court, the brief that was filed in the Fourth Circuit, which traces the history of military prayer back to 1774, excerpts from 67 prayer books. These are strong, manly prayers, unashamedly Christian prayers offered by secretaries of state, generals, admirals, presidents, senators, congressmen, distinguished. I loved when MacArthur was asked what prayer should be put in the prayer book that he would recommend. He said, the Lord's Prayer. There's nothing any better than that. There's not a better prayer on earth. You know, and Douglas MacArthur and Herbert Hoover and Mrs. Hoover had recommended the same thing. Eleanor Roosevelt, when asked if she recommended a prayer, she said, the 23rd Psalm has always offered great comfort to me. So there's, you know, this her recommendation. Of course, the prayer that Roosevelt had was read by the captains of each ship in just before the invasion at Normandy, and that prayer is a strong strong prayer. So it was very clear that we wanted to make sure that the spiritual side of the soldiers that George Marshall said was more important, the equipment, was given the proper place, and these arbitrary restrictions and anti-Christian restrictions were not being imposed. And you have to wonder what's going on. That history's on the website, and Admiral Tom Moore and other retired flag and general officers put together a summary of this. We took the provisions out of every inaugural address. This is something everybody should get their hands on. Every president of the United States, from George W. to George W., acknowledged the God of our Creator, the creator of the Declaration of Independence, and they use prayer and petition in their inaugural address, asking, recognizing the divine providence, the government of God in the creation of America, and asking God's blessing during their administration to continue it on. Not a single president at any inauguration failed in those precise points. And so here we are trying to say that cadets and soldiers and leaders are not supposed to pray when these commanders-in-chief, future commanders-in-chief, take their oath of office as chief executive. They always begin that way. But science, this is really important, and I put this in the brief, which I think had a great impact in the Supreme Court. Science confirms the judgment of military authorities regarding the importance of prayer. The largest social science research project in the history of the country was put out by the Social Science Research Council, the American Soldier, Combat and Its Aftermath, published by President Princeton University Press in 1949. They basically interviewed more combat soldiers in the Mediterranean, North Africa, European campaign, across the Pacific, and they were looking for what sustained them. And if you want to know the truth, these were psychologists and sociologists. They were humanists for the most part. And what they got back overwhelmingly, that the overwhelming majority of combat men said that prayer helped them a lot, certainly means that they almost universally had recourse to prayer and probably found relief or consolation in the process. Now that's in that, so we're talking science, recognized as the largest social science research project in history up to that particular point, acknowledged the very point. So we're trying, somebody wants to say, well, that's superstition, or well, that's, you're pushing your religion on something. In World War II, in which we were successful in both in the Pacific and in Europe, prayer was determined to be the number one thing that sustained men in combat. Not cohesion, and not the guy on my right, the guy on my left, or anything else. It was prayer that sustained them. And I think that information is contained in there. And I think there'll be things in there about prayer that will be useful to anybody, and then they should write their congressman and senator. It's never wrong to do that, and other public officials to encourage them that who should be permitted to attack, leave our soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines without a prayer, deployed in a time of national security crisis. That's got to be un-American, and it ought to be stopped.
And there are a lot of un-Americans working right here in this country, and some of them, well, one of them was working as the head of the National Association of Evangelicals, Ted Haggard, because the average individual, of course, couldn't understand why he was doing what he was doing, but he had his own agenda. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question, a comment, because I think this is such a vitally important issue, and Colonel Ray is right on the front lines of this, and I might comment that his organization is really supported by people just like you out there in the listening audience, and even though all of us need help, he is doing a wonderful job, and I certainly commend him, and I hope many of you out there will give serious consideration to supporting the First Principles Press, because Colonel Ray is right on the front lines and presenting briefs before the United States Supreme Court, known, you know, in Washington, D.C., for the fine work that he's doing. And many people use his research to actually have as a foundation for much of the legislation that has been passed or attempts that have been made to get legislation passed. Well, let's go to Mike, who's calling from Santa Cruz, and again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Yeah, hi, Stan. In your opening statements for the program, you were talking about crosses being taken out of the cemeteries, and that only made me think about earlier this year. We had the case of the Wiccan couple that wanted their pentagram or their pentacle to be recognized as a religious symbol by the U.S. military so they could have the pentacle placed on the dead husband veteran's grave on his headstone in the military cemetery. So I wanted to ask the Colonel, what's up with that?
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, we're seeing a blurring of these distinctions so that all religions are the same and should be given the equal dignity. If you look at even a manual for chaplains, recognized the possibility of Wiccan chaplains that was published during the Reagan administration in 1986. And, of course, it seems to me that Bible-based Christianity is the one that can't be tolerated, but the others are supposed to be tolerated. All the others are supposed to be tolerated. And, of course, the majority of Americans still claim to be Christian. I thought it was interesting that the Barna, I think it's Barna that does all the Barna Group, it's a Christian research organization that recently did a study, and a lot of them are stunning stuff. It said most Americans reject moral absolutes. It said only 35% of Americans believe in absolute standards of morality. In other words, the majority may still go to Christian churches or may think of themselves as nominally or traditionally or a Christian, but I wonder about that. But when somebody raises the standard of Bible Christianity, you seem to see that draws a lot of fire. But I'm not surprised that's going on. But again, this notion of going after to limit something proven by humanistic social science and psychology as the essential thing to sustain a man in battle at time of war, that is a strong thing. You know, the bumper stickers say and the signs say, support our troops. And what we say, if you really want to support our troops, let's be sure they and their leaders can pray without restriction.
And you know, there was this old saying during the Second World War, there are no atheists in foxholes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, I'll tell you what else is on the website, Stan, because the chaplain who wrote the prayer, there were lots of stories being told about that. Well, he finally wrote an article in the Chaplain magazine in the late 40s, not a few years after the war, the true story of the Patton Prayer, and the reference to that, and that's on the website, and certainly if you have any difficulty with it, give us a call. The phone number's on the website. We'd be glad to, like I say, we appreciate your support. We've got a lot of history. We follow the injunction of Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes on the Supreme Court, who said a page of history is worth a volume of logic. And we've got those pages of history, and we think they count for much more than what people feel, think, and the logic that they'd like to bring forward. It's a powerful story, and it needs to be told, and we don't want to leave our soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines in harm's way without a prayer.
Okay, anything else, Mike?
That's good enough, thanks.
God bless, and our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, at least the Naval Academy has had the courage to stand up and refuse to compromise its principles.
And the VMI did. The VMI did the whole thing, went all the way to the Supreme Court, and they did not overturn a 6-6 decision in the Fourth Circuit. But what the Supreme Court said is, it's moot. They said there's no injunction presently enjoining the Virginia Military Institute from reinstituting the prayer. And there were five opinions that, if you take them together, recognize, number one is we've never restricted prayer at the college level, ever. Never done it because we view somebody 18 years old, they can be drafted, they can serve in the military, they can drink in some states, they can vote. We figure they can make their own determination about prayer. And the deference of judicial authorities, it's called military necessity. The U.S. Supreme Court has interfered with a great deal of American life, but they've never gone to the point of interfering with what goes out in the arm. When it gets to the Supreme Court, they've always deferred to the considered judgment of the admirals and generals, what they say they need to recruit, train, discipline, equip the fighting forces, that they're not going to substitute judicially the judgment for the considered military judgment of our military leaders.
But, of course, the thing that really disturbs me is there seem to be people in both the Air Force and at West Point who have been put there by the people around Mr. Rumsfeld, who have a different agenda, and they're not really standing up for the right of the chaplains to pray, are they?
That's right. And I say this, that that happened under, to some extent, under the first Bush, but not too much then under Clinton. There were a number of people in the personnel business of that, very hostile to the military, there's no question about that. And then under W, we got Rumsfeld with this activist from Florida who had a powerful enough position that he could openly campaign against Jeb Bush's reelection in Florida and come back and screen appointments and promotions in the Pentagon. And that's real political power.
And of course, this man was a homosexual, wasn't he?
That's on the cover of Fortune magazine, and also in The Advocate.
And so people have to understand that the current administration, in the key positions, is riddled with homosexuals, and we have to ask ourselves, what in heaven's name is going on? I mean, our religious leaders are telling us that this is a Christian administration, but why would the Christian administration put active, open homosexuals into key administrative positions who are undermining Christianity and the military? And we just have to ask that question, and why the president hasn't intervened and stopped this foolishness when he could do it by an executive order if he really wanted to.
Specifically asked it by 75 congressmen, and they didn't answer. There was no written answer coming back to those 75 congressmen. So what's interesting is I've had the experience of going to a number of large churches, evangelicals, and are the leaders of them, and make them available by letter or phone call, sometimes face-to-face, about the fact that they overwhelmingly supported this administration in 2000 and 2004, and when they're confronted with this obvious shortfall or pattern of behavior contrary to what was said and believed, that they had a particular duty of accountability to take action and to write the president, to write the Secretary of Defense and their elected officials, and make their voices heard that they're not going to tolerate this. And certainly young men and women going into the military, need to be, forewarned in a way. But there are good men in the Congress, and I was surprised to see, and pleasantly surprised to see, that Duncan Hunter has established an exploratory committee to look at the possibility of running for president. And he's certainly been one of the stalwarts in the House Armed Services Committee as chairman for quite some time. So that'd be a real, I think he's from south of you down there.
He's in
California.
Southern California, right.
Yeah, yeah. And he has really been strong as new rope. And we're hoping that he can actually, hopefully he can get some attention from the powers that be.
All right, fine. So basically now, where are we? As far as the Air Force Academy, why you're not allowed to pray in the Navy?
There are severe restrictions at the Air Force Academy and the Naval Academy there are not, but in the Navy there are restrictions. But again, the language in the conference report, which John Warner, the chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee, took pains to point out, while it has interpretive value, and it certainly gives the sense of the Senate and the Congress, it's not law. So the question is, this battle's ongoing, and I've tried to make this material available to as many. I've been in educating and briefing 17 different congressional and Senate offices. I certainly need your prayers and support, and I appreciate you looking at the website. And if those are inclined to help us do this, I've been trying to be in the Washington area a week or 10 days a month, and that takes prayer, time, talent, and treasure.
All right, fine. Well, what about John Warner? Which side is he on? Is he for or against prayer?
He's been against it. He's the one that actually took steps in the Senate. Now, he did vote for the bill that passed, the amendment that passed November the 9th. But it's interesting that when it came back again in 2006, somebody had called him up and told him what he needed to do, and he shifted positions, and he was at pains to oppose it at each step during 2006.
So they say one thing one time, they do say a different thing the other time, and then they try to appease both sides.
Well, I think that what happens, candidly, is that he probably did what he was inclined to do on November the 9th when he voted with every 99-0. Dan, how many times has there been a 99-0 vote in the Senate except for we ought to go home early or we need another pay raise? But this was, I think what happens is that those that are watching closely, I think I told you that there's been a very generous benefactor of the ACLU that wrote $8.5 million check for ACLU to have expanded operations and new headquarters in Washington, D.C. They're watching very closely the developments up there. Would that help Radio Liberty if you had such a benefactor?
I think there's very, very little chance. In fact, if somebody offered me $8 million, I would be very suspicious of us. No, I don't think there's much chance of that.
Well, I guess what I want to say is the good news is we have up to the present of this election, we've withstood the attack and I think sent a very strong signal. This battle's not over, and I think it's going to take all of 2007 to see whether or not we can finally prevail. But George W. Bush right now could do the right thing and hasn't.
Well, I think that what we have to do is just keep right on fighting to understand that we have enemies both from without and from within, working within the Christian church. The Christian church has been infiltrated. There are people who have a different vision, and when we understand that, so much of what's going on really makes sense. Our guest has been Colonel Ron Ray, First Principles Press. Go to his website, firstprinciplespress.org. Get his information and get involved. Well, Colonel, we have 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program.
Well, I would encourage those of you to look at our website, but George Washington's Thanksgiving prayer and his proclamation that given each year while he was president of the United States, it's now done, almost every president then comes out with a Thanksgiving prayer or proclamation, but the George Washington's Thanksgiving prayer would be something that ought to be read around your Thanksgiving table to set the standard and set the tone for what America was and could be again through prayer and action.
Amen to that. And, of course, what people have to understand is that America was a Christian nation, and for almost 200 years, nobody questioned that. But there is a group on the other side that have an agenda. They know exactly what they're doing. They're very, very well financed. And they hate Christianity, and they hate the God of the Bible. When you understand that, so much of this really makes sense. This has nothing to do with afraid somebody's going to be offended. Because, of course, Christians are offended all the time by what's being taught in school and the lies that their children are being told in school. No, this is basically, in my estimation, an organized, orchestrated conspiracy against God. And if you're offended by that, simply get out your concordance, your biblical concordance, and look up the word conspiracy, and you'll find over 30 references to the fact that there is a conspiracy against God. There's always been a conspiracy against God. And unfortunately, it's working at every level of our government today. It's working within our courts. It's working within our educational system. It's working certainly within judiciary, but it's also working within our military. That's the tragedy. Colonel Ron Ray, I want to thank you very much for being with us, and I do hope you and Eunice will have a wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving.
And you and Barbara as well. Blessings to you for a blessed and wonderful and happy Thanksgiving.
God bless, and bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, fine. Well, that's Colonel Ron Ray, and I certainly hope you enjoyed our interview with him. I'm certainly proud to have him as a friend, and we spent a lot of time together talking. He's a man who loves America, who has foregone a very, very prosperous law career. I think he was number two man in his class at law school. But, you know, he's given that up to be on the front lines of this truly spiritual battle for the survival of Christian civilization and, of course, for the souls of men. And when you begin to understand that America is under attack, not over in Iraq, it's under attack right here at home. And it is an ideological attack. It is an attack on the Christianity, because if they know if they can destroy the Christian belief of our people and of our soldiers and of our leaders, why, they can destroy the very foundation upon which our freedom rests. For, as John Adams said, our Constitution was made for a moral and religious people. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and if you really care about what's going on, we hope that many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to do what we do 5 hours a day, and we can't do it without your support. So if you want to help us, why, we'd love to hear from you. We can tell you that, oh, I think that all of the ministries are really feeling the pinch as our economy begins turning down. And believe me, it's going to get a lot worse. We're on the edge of what I think is a very real financial problems here in the United States. But this has all been planned. None of this is happening by accident. If you can help us, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Or write us at Post Office Box 999 in Soquel, S-O-Q-U-E-L, California, 95073, or just give us a call at that 1-800-544-8927 number. We hope many of you will read our book, Brotherhood of Darkness, or get copies and pass them out, because it's a very simple book, but it is aimed at explaining to you that there really are powerful organizations out there that hate Christianity and are motivated by people who worship a different God. And this is maybe your first introduction to many of these ideas that took me 20 years to uncover. And there really are secret societies out there, organizations. Actually, you can read about up on the Internet, but you're not even going to know where to look. And many of our most powerful Christian leaders belong to these organizations. And people have no idea that they're following false prophets. Because if you wanted to destroy Christianity, would you attack it from without, or would you attack it from within? Well, let me just suggest that you go to our website, you get our newsletters. Our website is radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And pull down the newsletters there. And if you'd like to know who really runs America, you need to read my August and September newsletters. Now, if you don't have access to the Internet and can't get to radioliberty.com at the library, call us at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We'll send you a free copy of one of those newsletters. And then, we really hope you'll want to subscribe, but we'll be glad to send you a free copy. If you would like to get, of course, the catalog of the various tape sets we have, and if you really want to understand what's going on, if you want to understand the Bohemian Grove, if you want to understand the Skull and Bone Secret Society, if you want to understand America's secret government, and we have tape sets on all of these and so many other things. If you want to really understand O.J. Simpson and what really happened with O.J. Simpson, you need to get our O.J. Simpson 4-tape set. Because there's so much there that you have never been allowed to hear. If you'd like to know how they're poisoning you and your family with fluoride, you need to get the new DVD we have, Let the Truth Be Known. Let the Truth Be Known, because, of course, if you analyze the blood samples in communities where they have fluoridated the water with hydrofluorosilicic acid, and 91% of the communities that fluoridate water use that, and you check the blood levels, you'll find they're 6 times as high in blacks and 4 times as high in Hispanics as they are in whites. And this is a racist program. And you wonder why 1 in 3 black young men is either in prison or on probation or on patrol or parole. These things are not happening by accident, any more than the fact that the majority of the new cases of HIV disease in America are in the black population, or the fact that in Botswana today, 46% of the pregnant women in Botswana are HIV positive, and they're all going to die. I just had a friend who came back from South Africa who said they're just having to enlarge the cemeteries there, that so many blacks are dying from AIDS. And where did AIDS come from? You need to get our material. You need to get my planned population reduction monograph. It's available in DVD or in VHS. Understand, we are truly involved in a spiritual battle. Please pray for America, and pray for revival, and pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. And again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. Till tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
News. On the Information Radio Network, I'm Laura Lee Shull. President Bush says the U.S. supports Lebanon's democratic government, and he's denouncing today's assassination of Lebanese Christian leader Pierre Gamil as an act of intimidation. Bush alluded to Iran and Syria in his comments, but stopped short of accusing them of the killing. U.N. Ambassador John Bolton, however, said they could be responsible. State Department spokesman Tom Casey says there is one conclusion that can be drawn from the killing based on Lebanon's history of political violence.
It's certainly, I think, clear to us and clear to everyone else that this was not just some random criminal act.
O.J. Simpson's former sister-in-law says the company behind his controversial book and TV special offered her family millions of dollars to keep quiet. Denise Brown made the allegation in an interview with NBC. News Corporation says it did offer some of the profits to the Brown